continuing our shiurim in terms of topics of bailos, what is considered to be ownership of an object, which we've said is, of course, not only a question of mishpat topic, but it's very much related to orechayim or dev, and it has a lot of shahs and this had there emanate from who exactly is considered to be the owner of an object. Just last night, I got an email from someone in Eretz Yisrael about someone who bought a ring in order to get married. Okay, with a debit card, was the money taken out, was the money not taken out, the whole story, so you have to figure out exactly who owns something in order for a kedushin to be chal. So it's important in all areas of halacha to know who exactly is the proper bailiff on something. So here we move on to another topic where we have a quasi bailiff. The same way we've been speaking about in the past, about I have a kid in Aguf and you have a kid in Paris, or I'm a masker, you're a socher, I'm a masher, you're a shoel. Sometimes unclear who exactly is considered to be the owner of areas of halacha. So too, we move into another area, which is the issue what the Chazal called Tovas Hano'a. Tovas Hano'a is a throwback to not yesterday's parasha, but last week's parasha, where the Torah tells us that there are many, many matnas kahuna, truma, trumas ma'is, echal, bikurim, etc. The Torah says, ishes kadashav lo yiyu, that each person has the right to decide who he wants to give that truma to. Or in the case of Meiser, he can decide who he wants to give the Meiser to. Or in the case of Meiser Oni, who he wants to give the Meiser Oni to. So the owner has to do it. I mean, the original Baalim has to do it. The Yisrael has to give the Truma. The Yisrael has to give the Meiser. But he has the right to choose which Kohen or which Levi is going to be the recipient of the Matnas Kudu or the Matnas Leviyah. So the Gemara raises the question, what exactly is the Baalus of the Yisrael within that item? So here I set aside 10 barrels of Truma. I'm looking around to find a nice Kohen I want to give this truma to. Until I give it to the Kohen, who is considered to be the Bailim? After I give it to the Kohen, then there's no question that it belongs to the Kohen. It's his l'chol davar. The Mishnah says that the Kohen can go ahead and be Mekadesh and Isha with the truma that he receives. So for sure, once he receives it, it's considered to be Mamono l'chol din ha-Torah. But until it's given to him, it's obviously not his. The question is it mine? The Gemara raises the question in the end of the second paragraph condition, Tovas Hano'a Mamon, or Tovas Hano'a Eino Mamon. Do we say that this ability, this right to decide who I'm going to give it to, is considered to be a right in Dinei Mamonos, and therefore I'm considered, until I give it, as the bailo of this item? Or do you say no, Tovas Hano'a Eino Mamon? It's just as chus, it's just the Torah gives you the privilege to decide who you're going to divide up your trumas and maaser to, but in terms of ownership, you don't own it. You're not going to eat this trumas, you're not going to eat this maaser. So Tovas Hano'a Eino Mamon. My nafkamina ladina, with the Tovas Hano'a Mamon or not. At the end of the day, I'm not allowed to keep it. At the end of the day, I have to give it to a kohen. At the end of the day, I'm going to choose who the kohen is. So who cares whether for this interim period we say that it's considered to be Mamon or not? So the Gemara has a few important nafkaminas. So usually the easiest nafkamina to pin down is the Kedusha Isha. That's always the easiest nafkamina. That you want to know who's the owner of an item, chaps a nafkamina for Kedusha. Because for Kedusha, the din is that kicha kicha misteyafron. You have to give kesef to the woman. One of the three methods of Kedusha is kesef. And the kesef has to belong to the chosen. The same way when you buy a field, you have to own the money that you're giving. You can't steal money and give it to somebody for a king and kesef. So you have to be the bailam on the kesef. So the Gemara raises the question at the very end of the second breath of Kiddushin, what's the din of a Yisrael? And I have a barrel of a truma, and I go over to a woman, I say, listen, I'd like to get married. I'm hereby going to be Mekadesh you with the rights that I have within this barrel of truma. I'm going to give it to you. Now she's not going to be able to eat it. She's also Yisraelis. She's going to go ahead and give it to somebody else. She's going to now have that privilege, that tzchus, to decide which is her favorite kohen to give that that truma to. So is that considered to be mamonos or not? That tzchus that I have, that quote-unquote ownership rights that I have in the truma to decide which kohen I want to give it to, is that considered to be chalon and hashem mamonos or not? Am I considered to be a bailam or not? So tovas hano'a mamon, but tovas hano'a ain't a mamon. So the Gemara says, if you hold tovas hano'a as mamon, then the condition would be valid, because I gave her something that I own. If you hold it tovas hano'a ain't a mamon, so it doesn't mean anything. It's not chal, there's no bailus in that, there's no mamonus in that, and therefore the condition would not be chal. So that's the first, the easiest, the nafkaminas. Then the Gemara quotes a second nafkamina, also in the Tzugya, in Masechus Kedushin, Gonev Tivlo Shel Chaveray. If a person steals somebody else's tevel, Reuven's got 20 barrels of tevel, means he hasn't separated trumas and maizes from. I go ahead and I steal all that tevel, and now I get caught, and I have to pay kefil b'taras ganav. So how much do I have to pay kefil for? So Gemara raises the question and says that clearly I have to pay kefel according to the value of the chulin shebo. Let's say out of the 20 barrels, and make a cheshbon, how much of those 20 barrels would have ended up remaining Reuven's wine? So even after he finishes giving off the trumas and the maizes and everything, he still would have had the bulk of the barrels for himself. So that value of the barrels, for sure, I stole from him. So I have to pay kefel on that. I have to pay double that amount. What about the truma shibay? What about the value, that small amount within the barrels that was going to be truma, it was going to be mice, it was going to be truma's mice? Some of it Reuven wasn't going to have anyway. But on the other hand, Reuven had a tovus enosh shibo. So when I stole it from him, I in effect, quote unquote, took away his mumminess of tovus enosh. So comes the Gemara and says, really? Is that called mumminess? If you hold the tovus enosh mammon, that I stole your mammon, I stole that right to choose which coin you want to give, that's nitfas on it, you're a bailim, that's considered to be a shame moment. So then the din is, yishalim shanayim reyu. So we have to go to Beis Din and figure out how much is that worth. So whatever that amount is worth, I would have to pay kefil on that as well. Or you say no. You say that tovus enosh ain't a mammon. It doesn't mean anything. It's a schus. It's a privilege for you to give that amount of trumas and maizes to whoever you want to. But you can't call that dinei mammonus in any real sense of the word. And therefore, the chiv kefil would have been chal on it.
Even with that tovus enosh, it's only when it's already been chay for trumas and maizes. If you went to someone's field and you took their stuff from the field while it's still connected or whatever, you still have to pay for the total thing. Even though eventually he's going to have to give trumas and maizes.
I mean, you want to know Kozman that there's no chay of trumas and maizes, so then. Means in theory, the guy could have eaten it, you know, according to Mamalocha, according to my rights. I mean, then for sure it has Mamas, right? Mistama. Right. Mistama, right. It's only kind of Tivla Shachavera. Once it's already Chalashim, that's Losh Shachavera. Tivla Shachavera. So those are the two Nafkaminis that appear in the primary Sugya of Tevis Anoa on the end of the second Baruch Kiddushin. Nafkamina from Kaddish B'Tevis Anoa. And Chafsa Nafkamina in terms of God of Tivla Shachavera. Then the Gemara in Psalchim and Nafim Vav in the third parak as a third possible nafkamina that relates to Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the Mishnah and Maseches Psalchim. The Mishnah deals with the following dilemma. A person is baking on Yontif, Yontif Pesach, you're allowed to bake a chanefesh, you're allowed to bake matzahs on Yontif. We may not recommend it, Bizman Azeh, Chomus Pesach, Asa Lamash, it's going to get complicated, but Lamash, Mikra Din, you can really bake matzahs on Yontif. And the din is when you bake matzah, so you have to be mafresh challah. This coming up pasha, we have lechem lechem arts, the mitzvah of Hashem. So of course, there's a mitzvah of being mafresh challah. So far, so good. With Yom Tov, Pesach, you bake matzahs, you have to be mafresh challah. There's that book about don't yet challah the matzah bakery. It's a kid's book floating around the shul here called Don't Yet Challah the Matzah Bakery. It's all about the mitzvah of being mafresh challah. So that's where they caught the kids' attention. So anyway, so. The person is about to be mafresh challah, and then he comes to the realization that everything became tummy, that the yeast of the dough just became tummy. So now we have a problem. That's the dilemma that the Mishnah says. Kate said mafresh challah tmei abiyantif. What's the problem? The problem is that if you're going to be mafresh the challah, so now what are you going to do with that challah exactly? So you're going to have this challah, and you have a couple of different choices. So either you're going to bake up that challah, you're going to bake up the challah. How can you do that? Because that would be an afiyah shalol tzorach on yontif. Once the challah becomes tamei, no one's allowed to eat it. The kohen can't eat it. The Yisrael for sure can't eat it. So that would be an afiyah official shalol tzorach on yontif. So you wouldn't be able to continue to bake it. The other rate is that, no, what do you have to bother baking it? Just leave it around and you'll take care of it after yontif. Leave it around. It's going to become chametz. So you can't leave it around. On a regular, if you're baking bread on Shavuos, so it became tamei. Good, so you put it on the side. You'll deal with it after yontif. But so says the Gemara, well, the third option is what? You just burn it, because that's ultimately what you're going to do with it anyway. Challah becomes tummy, like this man hazeh. We always burn the challah. So why don't you just burn it? So no, you can't do that either, because ein sarfin kachim yantif. It's asar to burn truma tmeyim, challah tmeyim, kachim tmeyim, on yantif. So the Gemara says, you're mamish in a checkmate. To sit around and do nothing, you're going to be over by Rav Yamotzi. To bake it up, that's going to be an isser of doing malach on yantif, shol tzerich. To throw it into the fire, that's called tzerich. It's kachim yantif. So what are you going to do? So the Mishnah says, you're mamish in a pickle. So some of the Tanaim start pulling and looking around, what can you do there? You told the tzayne, and some of the Tanaim say, throw into a bucket of freezing cold water, so that at least won't be an isser of sreifa, but at least it may stop, at least hold back the chibetz process. Everyone's pulling, you're trying to figure out, what should you do? So comes Rabbi Yeshua and says, what should you do? Nothing. Leave it there. What's the big deal? Well, what happened to my Rabbi Matzi? Says the Rabbi Yeshua, lo zel chomich over love by Rabbi Matzi. You're not over by Rabbi Matzi. Don't worry about it. You're not over by Rabbi Matzi. I'm not over by Rabbi Matzi. Why am I not over by Rabbi Matzi? So the Gemara tries to explain what the issue is. And one of the issues the Gemara raises is, well, point to who's going to over by Rabbi Matzi. In order to over by Rabbi Matzi, it has to be Shalcha. Going back to the Din Mamun of Shabbos, it has to belong to you. So who does this Chala belong to? So it obviously doesn't belong to the Kohen yet, because it wasn't, in theory you can give Chala Tameh to the Kohen, he could use it as a firewood, he could use it for something, feed it as animals, whatever he could do with Chala Tameh, like Chuma Tameh. So if I haven't given it to the Kohen, obviously the Kohen doesn't own it yet, so the only possible person who may still own it is me. Maybe I'm the owner on it. So comes Rabbi Yeshua and says, you're the owner on it. It's Tavis and I and Mama. He said, you don't own it. It's nothing. It doesn't belong to you. So comes the Gemara and says, that sheet of Tavis and I and Mama, that may save the day in terms of Uchaz Chametz. So here we're using Tavis and I and Mama, Tavis and I and Mama, to determine the Cheshev Mishpat question, which in turn is going to determine an Orachayim question, which is exactly the theme of Ashiurim, that we're trying to posket up Shals and Didi Mominus, and then trying to show how those issues in Didi Mominus are spilling over in terms of Issa V'Heter. So this is a classic example. So if you hold that Tavasana is Mamon, then the Bailim the Yisrael is the potential owner, so then that's going to be a violation of Bairavei Matzeh. If you hold that Tavasana is Ein Mamon, then the Bailim Yisrael doesn't really own it in Chayshim Mishpat, and in Meila there's no issue of Bairavei Matzeh. On that sugya, Rashi happens to throw in an issue from left field, which is also important in terms of bialus, but it's very important in terms of definition of bialus with Rabbi Matzeh. So Rashi goes through the following cheshbon. Rashi says, here you have the Yisrael, who's yeski v'shaila. He's got his dough sitting on the table. He doesn't know what to do with it. So he comes to the rabbi and he asks, am I over by Rabbi Matzeh? Not over by Rabbi Matzeh. So Rashi says, don't worry, you're not over by Rabbi Matzeh. Why is that, Rashi? It's not your problem by Rabbi Matzeh. Why? Says Rashi, because number one, it's Tavas and Ra'in Amamun, so it's not yours, so don't worry about it. And number two, you haven't given it to Yisrael yet, you haven't given it to the Kohen yet. So since you haven't given it to the Kohen yet, it's not his either, and therefore you don't have to worry. So come the Achavarim and jump on Rashi. What does Rashi mean with that comment? That you haven't given it to the Kohen yet, and therefore you don't have to worry. The implication of Rashi is that if I gave it to the Kohen already, I already was mezakeh to the Kohen, and now it's sitting on my table, I have to worry. It's my problem. So comes the Gra and says in Rashi, what do you have to worry for? It's the Kohen's problem. It's not your problem. Rashi is trying to explain why the Yisrael's got this dough sitting on his table, need not worry about my Rav Emotzen. So Rashi goes through the whole Cheshbet. Rashi says, it's not yours, don't worry about it, because Tovus and Ramamun. And it's not the Kohen's yet, because you weren't mezakeh to the Kohen yet. And sounds like from Rashi that if I would have given it to the Kohen, and the Kohen would have given it back to me, I'd be shaking. I would have to worry about by Rabbi Matzeh. So fret the Gra, what do you mean? Why is it by Rabbi Matzeh? The issue by Rabbi Matzeh is to own your own chametz, is to have your own chametz in your rishus. If you have somebody else's chametz, it's not your problem. It's the Kohen's problem. But we're not talking about the Kohen's not in the sugya and nothing involved. The Kohen's behind the scenes. It's the Yisrael who's asking the shayla. So Rashi is going through the whole shtickle Torah, the whole cheshbon, as to why the Yisrael need not be concerned with by Rabbi Matzeh. So Rashi says, Yisrael, no problem. Tovus and Ra in a moment. And it doesn't belong to the Kohen anyway, because Lomotel Yodeh, it hasn't come to his hands yet. The implication being, if it would have come to his hands, and the Yisrael would be watching it for him, he would be in a pickle. Why would that be a pickle? It shall chayyat arav al tarosh alachirim. So says the Gral, you see from this Rashi, a big Chiddush, you see from Rashi, that the din of Shalchot Rav is Rosh HaLecherim, you're allowed to have another person's chametz in your Rishos, that's only true if that other person is a Goy. The context of that Jerusha, Rosh HaLecherim, means you can have a Goy's chametz, or you can have Hektish's chametz. Hektish is not a person. You can have a person who's Mufka from Bai Ravei Motzei's chametz in your Rishos and Pesach. A Goy's chametz is okay. A Hektish's chametz is okay. But another Jew's chametz, if another Jew comes and brings his chametz into your rishus, that's your problem. It's his problem also, and it's your problem. The p'tur, the heter of shalchot yaroa doesn't apply to your chametz or Yisrael acher. So that's what Rashi had to make the cheshbon. That's what Rashi had to say. Oh, let's go through the cheshbon carefully, says Rashi. I'm a Yisrael and I have the chalat tamei sitting on my table. Is it mine? Baruch Hashem, it's not mine. Tavasana in a moment. Is it the Kohen's, which would spell trouble for me? Because if it belongs to the Kohen, that's going to now become my problem. So Zav Rashi, Baruch Hashem, it's also not a problem. Because Lomotli Yad Kohen, it hasn't yet arrived to the hands of the Kohen. So this is a tremendous Chiddush. The other Rishonim who don't say this, other Rishonim say, Befeirush, not this way. This would be a tremendous Chiddush. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, that if a Goy walks into your house with his chametz, so what? Akam Shenichas Lebeis HaShem, but take it be other big deal. He shouldn't put it down in a way that I'm going to eat it, but if he's holding on to it, so it's no problem. A Goy can bring his own sandwich into my house. What if it's not a Goy who's bringing his own sandwich? What if it's a Jew who's bringing his own sandwich? So according to Rashi, that's a Nesedi Raisa. Not for me, because I have a Chomet Shal Yisrael in my Rishos on Pesach. I have to get rid of that sandwich. So that would be a tremendous Chumrah. Shas come up a lot. Say I have an office. I have a Jewish company there, and I have people coming to work for me. Chol HaMoed. Okay. Assuming they're okay, they're permitted to come work in Chol HaMoed. So if it's a guy who comes and brings his own bag lunch, walks in with his bagel, not a problem. But what if it's a Jew who comes in with his bagel? According to Rashi, I have to ask him to leave. I have to tell him to take the bagel out. Because I'm in violation of my Rav Matich. That's quite a chumrah. I don't think too many people are so careful about that. I think many of the Rishon disagree with this Rashi. But according to Rashi, that would be Mam Shashala by Rav Matich on the love of their Isa. After Shiloh went, always before Yom Tov, we try to get rid of all the old coats that have been sitting in shul collecting for the last Yom Tov. Usually every 6 months we have a coat sale. So sometimes when I see all these coats sitting around, so hopefully we try to get rid of most of them before Yom Tov. Every once in a while there are a few of them still left. So I always stick my hands into the pockets to make sure who left the bagel behind, not a bagel, who left the candies behind, who left cookies behind, who knows, me from me a hochem, what's going on in terms of maybe my Shiloh, maybe my B'dikas Chametz Shiloh. So, if it's your coat still here from last sukkahs, you can still take it now. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the Gemara has this running Shiloh with a Tevis and Oz Mammon, with a Tevis and Oz Enamam. How do we pass Kin Lavocha? So the Tosh Pshat in the Gemara is that we pass Kin that Tevis and Oz Enamam. That's a simple Pshat in the Gemara. Even within the Shita that says that Tevis and Oz is Mammon, there's a further breakdown. Even though we don't necessarily follow that Shita, at least most Rishon, there are some Rishon who do pass in Tavasin Ad Mammon, but even within the Shita that Tavasin Ad Mammon, there's a Machloikis Rishon. What exactly do those words mean? So let's go back to the case of the Tevel. Tevel is a good example. I stole a barrel of wine from you. So we try to make a cheshbon how much that barrel of wine is worth. So we said, let's say, $80 worth of the barrel of wine is going to be plain chulin. That means you have to all the chumas and mice are taken off. The $80 of the barrel will still belong to the Yisrael. So there's no question they have to pay $80. Now in the remaining value of the barrel, what is the remaining value of the barrel? Again, according to the Man Diomer, Tovasana in a Mammon, so all I pay is 80 and that's done. For capable of the 80. But if you hold that Tovasana is Mammon, so how much of the remaining barrel do we have to cheshbon out? So we look at the remaining barrel and we see there's $20 worth of wine in this barrel. On the other hand, I'm never going to really get $20 worth of wine. The best that I'm going to get is the value of being able to choose which coin I want to give the cover to present my truma. How much is that worth on the marketplace? So if you hold that Tovus and Ain't a Mammon, it doesn't mean anything. But if you hold Tovus and Ain't a Mammon, how much would I pay? How much would somebody pay me to get that $20, quote unquote, worth of wine to be able to choose his favorite coin? So I have my favorite coin. I would be willing for $20 worth of wine to make my coin happy. I give you $3 for that. Maybe, well, let's say I could potentially have my favorite coin, who happens to be maybe my grandson, because let's say my daughter marries a coin, so I could have. I want my grandchildren to have a lot of. Okay, leave out the wine. I want to give them some nice apples. So it's worth my while. I get a cheap price. So I'm willing to pay you. Listen, I say to the Yisrael, to the other Yisrael, I say, listen, you're not going to eat these apples anyway. I'm not going to eat the apples, you're not going to eat the apples. You're going to give it to your favorite coin. I want to give it to my favorite coin. So I'm going to pay you $3 for that zchus to be able to pick my coin. So I can enter into a deal with you. It's worth $3 in the marketplace. So how much do I own in those apples, assuming that Tavas Zerah is Mammon? Does Tavas Zerah Mammon mean that I own the entire $20 worth of apples? Since I have this chus to be able to choose which coin I want to give to, that gives me a shame bailus on the entire item. Or do you say, no, Adkan, that's really too much. Tavas Zerah Mammon, all it means is that I own those apples vis-a-vis that small percentage of the $3 worth of how much I would make in the marketplace to give that ownership over to whichever coin I want. So that's within the Man Diomer Tavas Zerah Mammon. If you hold Tavas Zerah Mammon, the Shaila is moot. But if you hold the Tavas Zerah Mammon, how far does Tavas Zerah Mammon go? So the Ritva, in the end of the Sechel Berakah Kiddush, quotes two opinions about this, about the Gonif Tivla Shel Chaver. If I steal the barrel of wine from you, so the $80 of Chulin, for sure I have to pay kefil on. The remaining $20, if you hold Tavas Zerah Mammon, so one opinion the Ritva is you have to pay kefil on $20 also. And the other day is, that's ridiculous, $20 for. You have to pay kefil on $3 more, because you don't really own it, you only own it vis-a-vis the Tavas Zerah Shabbat. Or would Chapa Nafkamina in Masechus Kedushin as well. Let's say I have this one apple that I want to give to the Kohen. So instead of me giving to the Kohen, I go to a woman under the Chuppah, can't find the ring, so I stand on the chuppah and I pull out an apple out of my pocket. I say, by the way, this apple is an apple of truma. I'm about to give this to a kohen. You know what? I'm going to give this apple to you as the kesef kedushin, and I'm going to mekadesh you with the tavas anor shavu. If you hold tavas anor mamon, so how much is a tavas anor worth? It's only one apple. How much does an apple sell? I don't know. An apple. 50 cents. They have a 50 cent apple. How much is the tovus at Noshigol, the apple, worth? How much would I be willing to buy on the marketplace the rights to give an apple to somebody? I mean, $100 barrel of wine. Okay, maybe I spend a few dollars on an apple. I mean, how much? It could be that the tovus at Noshigol is worth less than a pruta. So even if you hold tovus at Noshigol is mamon, maybe that won't be good. So if you hold that tovus at Noshigol mamon means that I become the owner of the entire chayfetz. It's the rights to give it to whichever coin I want, translate into complete ownership. So then I own more than a prut is worth of the apple. So then I can be mekadesh an isha with it. But if you hold that tovus and our mamon, doesn't even mean that. Tovus and our mamon, just the koshi, all it means is that you have a right to the tovus and our. The tovus and our has a dollar sign on it, but that doesn't make you the bottom of the entire apple. Then you couldn't be mekadesh to isha unless the tovus and our itself would be worth a prut. Again, so we have a major machlokes in the Gemara with a tovus and a mamon, tovus and a ena mamon, three possible nafkaminas. Most of the Rishonim seem to assume tovus and a ena mamon. Even within the other opinion of mamon, it's further 2 days in the Ritva. There is a major question that the Rishonim have about tovus and a, which really gets to not only a major issue in terms of matnas kuna and levia, but it touches on a very, very basic area in dinei mamonos, and that's the sugya in Bava Metzia Daf Vav Amud Beis. I don't think we're going to get to it in Kol Boker, so I guess we'll have to speak of it in the Sunday morning Kol Boker. So there is a sugya in Daf Vav Amud Beis, one of the most famous sugyas in the beginning of Bava Metzia, about the issue of Tukfei Kohen. Now Gemara raises a question about the rule of Hamotzi Mechaver Lo Haraya. We know that there's a basic rule in Dinei Mamonos. Whenever you have an argument, I claim it's my money, you claim it's your money. So possession is not 9/10 of the law, it's 99.99% of the law. You basically get to keep it until I can prove otherwise. So the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Kama, that's a din min haTorah. The Gemara derives it from Psukim or from Svar. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara what the source of this din is, but that's no question about it. Both Sefer Levaraya, that's the basic ABCs of Dinei Mamonos. So what would be the din in the following case? Let's say you have I have an animal, and I'm not sure whether that animal is a Bechor or not. What do I know? I'm not sure, I don't know, maybe the animal was born before it, I can't tell. Whatever it is, I have an animal sitting in front of me, and I don't know whether it's a Bechor or not. So what do you do with a Suffolk Bechor? So the Gemara says that there are two issues involved with the Bechor. There's an issue of Dinei Mamonos, and there's an issue of Issei Heter. There's Dinei Mamonos, because the Bechor is one of the Matnas Kuna. I'm supposed to give it to the Kohen, the Bechor Behemoth Tahira. There's also a dimension of Isser, that Losavet B'chor Sherecha, Losavet B'chor Tzenecha. I'm not allowed to work the Bechor, I'm not allowed to benefit from the Bechor. It's supposed to really go as a korban. This man Shem Beis Mikdash Kayim, I can't bring it as a korban, but it's still the Isurim of Avoid the Begiza B'kachim. So what do I do now with the Safik Bechor? So the Gemara splits the Psach. The Gemara says, quotes the Mishnah from Masechet Bechoris, and says it depends which area of Halacha you're asking about. If you're asking about the Dinei Mamonos Shabbos, I don't have to give it to the Kohen, because the Motzei Chayel of Arayah, let the Kohen prove that it belongs to him. But vis-a-vis the Isurim Shabbos, I can't work on it, I can't do Avoid, I can't do Giz, I can't shear its wool, because Safik Derais L'Chumra. So what do I have to do? So I'm a pickle. So I have to let the Bechor sit around, wait around until it finally gets a mum. If it gets a mum, so then the din is, then it becomes like Psulia Mugdashin, and then I'm permitted to shecht it and eat it and shine enough to give it to the Kohen. Normally Bechor Ba Mum is given as a Matnas Kuna also. Here, I don't have to give it to the Kohen, because it's Safik Mominus L'Kula, Matzachel of Araya. But in terms of any Issa Shiba, I have to treat it as a Bechor. So that's the basic status of a Safik Bechor. So comes the Gemara and says, what would the din be as follows? I have this Safik Bechor running around, which Bezin just told me, I need not give to the Kohen. So the Kohen didn't bother listening. Tuck the Kohen. The Kohen goes ahead and he grabs it. So now, one could argue, the Kohen goes ahead, whether we should have grabbed it or shouldn't have grabbed it, is a different story. But he went ahead and he grabbed it. So now that the Kohen grabbed it, one could argue that he's now considered to be the Mukhsuk. Now it's under his possession. So maybe we should flip the psak now and say, now the Kohen grabs it and he says, aha, I'm telling you it's a Bechor. And I say, no, it's not a Bechor. So we should turn around to the Yisrael and say, you want to prove that it's not a Bechor? Go and prove it. Since nobody can prove it, the fact, no one knows what this animal's history was. So the male, the Kohen is going to be able to hold on to it. So the Gemara is a shadow. Do you say that? Do you not say that? That's a motzvah chavel of a raya shadow. That's a mamun shayla. With a tukfei kohen motzin miyadoi, a tukfei kohen ein motzin miyadoi. So that's a shadow that the Gemara presents. So comes, that's a long sugya. So comes the Tosis and says, wait, stop, says Tosis, I don't understand the sugya. Says Tosis, what are you pilpling about? They're spending in yeshivas, they spend weeks and months on tafakoin, you can talk from today until tomorrow about this topic. Tosis, I don't understand the shaila even, says Tosis. Let's say it would have been vade b'chor. Let's say we would know for a fact that it's b'chor. And the kohen would come, barge into my barn, and take the animal away. So Tosis says, you should be Matzi Miyado. You know why? Because the Yisrael has the Tosis Hanah. So says Tosis, the Gemara is pilpling about, can we take it away from the kohen? Because maybe it belongs to the kohen, maybe it doesn't belong to the kohen, because it's a Sufik b'chor. So Frek Tosis, even if it's a Vadi b'chor, even if the kohen for sure has a right to it, still Tafak kohen should be Matzi Miyado. Because what happened to the Parsha of Tosis Hanah? The din is that the Yisrael decides who he gives the animal to. And he doesn't want to give to the kohen who just stole it. He'd like to give it to his grandson kohen. So comes Tosis and says, the whole sugi b'matzia doesn't make any sense. The whole yeshivas, they're sitting in Litvish yeshivas for 3 months, the whole charizman and the sugya. Says Tosis, the sugi doesn't get off the ground. Says, even if it's a vade b'chor, it should be, you should have to give it back. Al Tosis Hanah. So Tosis quotes two answers to that kasha. So one answer Tosis says, is that Tosis Hanah, Tosis Hanah, Tosis Hanah means l'chatchila. Tosis Hanah means that you have a right l'chatchila to decide which coin you want to give it to. But if the kohen goes ahead and grabs it, it's done, finished, it's over. Nothing to discuss. Tosis Hanah just met mid. And the Torah sets up the way Matnas Kedusha is supposed to take place. Is that you are supposed to choose which kohen you want to give it to. If you didn't choose for whatever reason, because the kohen went ahead and knocked in the barn, he broke down the barn door and grabbed the animal, or he grabs the barrel of truma, or the meiser comes and grabs the levi comes and grabs the meiser, they in a sense jumped the gun, they took away your tavis and all. Zozai, that's the din, finished, that's it. So there's nothing to discuss. The only reason why the Gemara is pilpling in B'Matzia Davov, whether B'Matzia Miyado or B'Matzia Miyado, is because it's only a suffix. Because maybe a Matzach Be'el of Araya dictated to us that it belonged to the Yisrael, and then when the Kohen took it, so then we're going to force the Kohen to return it. So that's why the Gemara is raising a Matzach Be'el of Araya Shaila, with a Tafak Kohen, B'Matzia Miyado, B'Matzia Miyado. But in terms of the Tavis Hanah, it's over, finished. You didn't really have any ownership in Tavis Hanah. And comes Tosis and says, and you know what? After all, Tosis Hanah is not really Maman, Tosis says. Tosis Hanah doesn't really mean anything. You don't really have any zchus on it. It's a lechatchila b'yalma. The Torah gives you the right to hand it over to whichever kohen you want. But if the kohen jumped the gun and took it, then it's over. The case is over. You have nothing to stand on. You're going to come to Beis and take the kohen to a din Torah and say, I insist that you return to me that barrel of wine so I can give it to somebody else. I insist you return that b'chor so I can give it to my grandson kohen. That's a meaningless title. That doesn't hold any water. That's what Tosis says. That Tavas Hanah is a lechatchila, but after the fact that the kohen grabbed it, so then it's all over. And then Tosis says, Oidia Shleimer, no. Tosis says that maybe if we're dealing with a normal scenario of Trumas and Isis, or a normal case of a Bechor, so Inochinami, the Yisrael could take the kohen to a Din Torah. Even if it's a vadai b'chor, even if it's a vadai trumas and meisers, you have no right to be taifes. And if you're taifes, I'm going to take it back from you in a din Torah. Taifes, I know, it means even with the evan, I can take it back from you. So what's the Gemara B'Matzia talking about? As Taifes says, maybe the Gemara B'Matzia is talking about a very, very unique situation where the Yisrael doesn't have Taifes Hanah. What do you mean the Yisrael doesn't have? The Torah says in Parashat Naso, Ishas Kadoshav lo yil. What do you mean? Yisrael always has Tavis Hanah. No, says Tavis, we're going to dig up a case, we're going to create a scenario where the Yisrael has foregone, Yisrael has lost out his rights of Tavis Hanah. If we can create such a case, and the question doesn't get off the ground, Tavis says the Kasha, what's the Gemara pilpling about? Tachfa Kain, Matzian, Hei Matzian, typically that the Yisrael has Tavis Hanah, and for Tavis in the second answer, no, Hachab Mayaskirin, and Okimta. Hachab Mayaskirin, this is the case where there is no Tavis Hanah. And where is that case? Who case? What case? Where case? Where do we ever find that Yisrael loses the rights of Tavis Hanah? So that's a sugi in Maseches Gittin in the third parak. So the third parak of Gittin is a Mishnah. The Gemara elaborates upon the Mishnah that introduces to us a possible scenario where Yisrael no longer has the right to decide who he's going to give the Trumas and Maseches to. What is the case? What the Mishnah calls Makire Kahuna. So even the word Makire Kahuna may be a mispronunciation. Rashi quotes that the word Makire comes from the word in Navi, Ish Be'ez Makaro. Makaro means like someone who you know, someone you're close with. So Rashi seems to say that the correct pronunciation is Makari Kahuna, rather than Makiri Kahuna. If you go to any yeshiva in the world and you say Makari Kahuna, they're not going to know what you're talking about. So we're going to call it Makiri Kahuna, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. That's the minhag in the yeshivas, that's the way it's said. So Makiri Kahuna, what in the world is, forget about the pronunciation, what in the world is Makiri Kahuna? The Gemara says that what if I'm a Yisrael, I have my next door neighbor who's a Kohen, I've been giving him trumas for years, I give him my truma, I give him my challah, he does my pidyon habetz, he does whenever I need a Kohen, he's the Kohen, he gets the first aliyah, he's Mr. Kohen, he always gets everything for me. We've been doing this for the last 20 years. The Gemara says that if I have a relationship with this Kohen for the last 20 years, I always give him my matnas kuna, then the halacha dictates I have to continue to give him the matnas kuna. I cannot all of a sudden just change on him one day and say, sorry, Mr. Cohen's been nice for 20 years, I'm going to go give it to Mr. Katz. I'm not allowed to do that. That Mr. Cohen has a right to collect the trumas, or Mr. Levy can correct the miser, if we have such an ongoing relationship called makiri kahuna. Where does that come from? What kind of halacha is that strange din? So Taisa says, that's what's playing out over here. Taisa says, that's the case. How come I ask you that it's a makiri kahuna? Because I've been giving this coin for the last 20 years to Bechor. So I no longer have Tavis Anoah to any other coin. Now we have a Safik Bechor, and he goes in and he grabbed that Safik Bechor. Oh, so then we can, then we say, well, you want to get it away from him based on Tavis Anoah. You've already been Meichelin your Tavis Anoah. Your Tavis Anoah doesn't exist anyways. You're never going to get back out Tavis Anoah. The only way you could possibly get it in Tavis is Tavis Anoah and maybe Mutsi and the other. So Tavis gave it no Kim Tachem, my skin is Makir Kudu, but we don't understand the mechanics. Where does this halacha come from? Just because I've been giving it for 20 years to Mr. Cohen, I have to continue Meichel Taisa? So where does it come from? This didn't Makira. Taisus didn't make up Makira Kuna. Taisus and Bavatsiya just discovered a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin has Makira Kuna. So where did this idea come from? How did Chazal figure out this notion called Makira Kuna? So there's a major Machlaikis, Rishon and Rashi, and Taisus, just the mechanics of how this works. The basic ABCs of Mamonos, particularly as it plays out in terms of Manas Kuna. So Rashi has the following comment in Maseches Gittin, in the third paragraph. Rashi says that when I separate Truma, at that point, where's the Truma going to go to? I don't know any particular kohen. The first time I'm separating a barrel of Truma, who is that Truma going to go to? So the answer is, it's obviously going to go to one of the Kohanim in the world. I could pick whichever one. So Rashi says, that lumdus, that I could pick any kohen in the world, but it's got to go to a kohen. I can't keep it for myself. It's got to go to a kohen. So Rashi, in the way the Acharonim is a pre-Yitzchak, it's Le Petterberg who basically gives the famous Yeshiva Shereid in terms of this Rashi. But basically what Rashi says is as follows, that when I'm Ma'afresh Truma, so at that point it belongs to a new entity. You know what that entity is called? Mamon HaShevet, Mamon HaKahuna. It belongs to the entity called, the new corporation, so to speak, called the Kohanim. It belongs to all of anyone who's got the card-carrying member of Shevet Kahuna has a potential claim on that item. Elowat. The Torah says, right now it belongs to this mysterious called new entity, a corporation called Shevet HaKahuna. You as a Yisrael, you as the Baal HaBos, have the right to decide which one of this Kohanim practically you're going to give it to. You've got to give it to one of them. You can't give it to somebody else. You have to give it to somebody, but Kozman you haven't chosen yet, so that in a certain sense it belongs to the entire Mamona Shevet. If you have a Mamon of a lot of Shutfin, a Mamon of Shevet, a lot of individuals, it belongs to 100 people. And 99 of the people walk out of the place and say, listen, do me a favor, don't give it to me, I'm not expecting it, I have no shaykhs, I'm not interested in getting this Mamon. So if 99 of the people pull out, so there's only one person left, whoever's left, he is by definition going to own it. So Kozman, that there are 100 members of this corporation, they're all interested in collecting the possible truma, so then we haven't decided yet who the owner is. But if 99 of them decide to be Meichel in their schus, so then Memela, there's only one left. And Memela, he owns the truma at that point. So comes the pre-Yitzchak, but that's Rashi says, that's what's going on in Matnas Kuna. That I have a barrel of truma, I can decide which any coin in the world I want to give it to. But Lamaisa, for the last 20 years, I've been giving it to Mr. Cohen. So all the other Kohanim in the world know that. I mean, they don't literally know that, but they figuratively know that. All the other Kohanim in the world, there's an unwritten understanding between all the Kohanim. If it's always going to Mr. Cohen, Mr. Stomach tomorrow is going to go to Mr. Cohen as well. Once everybody is assuming it's going to go to Mr. Cohen, Kula Kohanim Aschid Atayu Minayat. Rashi says, all the other Kohanim in the world are Mesiach Das. They give up hope. They remove their das from this truma. They're not expecting this truma anyway. Kolzman, they're not expecting this truma. So it's as if they walked out of the partnership in this truma. Igloy knows that there's one coin left in the world. Vis-a-vis this truma, there's one coin left in the world. Imagine, what would it then be if there's only one coin? Imagine only one coin exists in the world. So when, as soon as a mafresh truma, it belongs to him. It's totally his. The only reason why it's not his yet is because it's Momen HaShevet, Momen HaKahuna. But if there's no other coin around, either literally, physically, there's no other coin around, or halachically, theoretically, there's no other coin around, because all the other Kohanim have walked out of the deal, so then Igloy knows that he's the only coin left, and the Mela belongs to him. It belongs to B'tayis Mamanis. It's Mamish is his. It's totally his. Therefore, Rashi says, I can't change on him. I can't turn around tomorrow and say, oh, Mr. Cohen, I'm not giving you Truma today. I'm giving it to Mr. Katz. I'm a Gazlan if I do that, because it belongs to Mr. Cohen already. The only thing that prevented Mr. Cohen from having a bailus on it with Chila was the fact that there was a moment of shaving, that it belonged to everybody else also. But once everybody else has walked out, so the mail belongs to Mr. Cohen B'tayis Mamanis. That's the rationale of Makirikuna. Makirikuna is a very, very fancy kind of a Mamana Shufis, where all the other Shufis walk out of the case, and then there's one coin left. That's Rashi's version. Taisus and Mubabasra, in the 8th parak, there's a totally different spin on Makirikuna. Taisus quotes the Gemara Bavitzia in the 4th parak, where the Gemara says that if I promise to give you a gift, so words are cheap. You could scream at me, but that doesn't really mean anything. But what if I say to you, listen, I'm going to give you a very, very small gift. So I'm going to muet this. And then I back out on you. So in terms of taking me to a din Torah, you can't really take me to a din Torah because we didn't make a kinyan on it. But even though you can't take me to a din Torah, you have a right to lodge a formal complaint against me. That what I did was what's called a mechusi amana. That's considered to be a dishonest statement. If I say to you, I'm going to give you $1 million, the Gemara says, that's not a dishonest statement, because you didn't really believe me anyway. So I'm foolish. You weren't expecting it anyway. It's not a game. But if I say to you, listen, come by tonight. I got a $10 gift to give you. So you got all excited. You got your hopes up on it. Then you come and I dash your hopes and say, nah, just kidding. So the Gemara says, that's called Mechusri Abana. I'm considered to be dishonest in what I said, and you can take me to a Beis Din. You can't get the $10 out of me, but you can tell the Beis Din to scream at me to give me Musa for being dishonest. You see, from here, you need a heter to take a guy just to scream at. You can't just stop screaming at people. You have to have a standing in halacha. It's not quite a din Torah. You can't just stop. The Gemara says that ein lem zelze el taraymis. That Mishnah says about different examples that people are dishonest to one another. So you can't take into a din Torah, but you can complain against them. So you see from the Mishnah that you have to have a schus to complain. You have no right to complain. Stop to screw with people in Beis Din. Stop to screw with people in Shul. You have no right to screw with people. It has to be an official, formal right to complain. You have to get Beis Din to approve you. I'm not going to get money anyway. Just that you have the right to complain, you need a schus of Beis Din also. So we have halachot. So anyway, getting back to the story. So Taisa says that when you have a situation in Makira Kahuna, for the last 20 years I've been giving you truma, you're expecting to get that truma tomorrow also. Because after all, what do I have to lose? For me, it's only matan muetis. For me, it's just a question of a couple of pennies, whether I give it to you or give it to him. But for you, it's really worth something. So Taisa says that when the kohen has been expecting it for the last 20 years, he's continued to expect it. That's called a matan muetis. And matan muetis is an issue of mechusri amana. Abba Zoy, it's an issue of mechusri amana. I have to continue to do it. So according to Rashi, it's mamish belongs to the kohen b'teres mamanis, because it's mamana shutfin that all the other shutfin walked out on. According to Taisa, it's not yours and dinim mamanis. Technically speaking, I don't have to give it to the Kohen, but Lamais, ethically, morally, I am mechuyav to give it to the Kohen, therefore I don't really have the rights of Tavis and Ra anymore. So comes Taiz and says, that Hochem and Mayaskinan, we're dealing with that this Safik Bechor is a Makira Kahuna situation. Because otherwise, if it wouldn't be Makira Kahuna, then what do you mean, Tavis Kohen, Ein Matzim Yado? What do you mean? I have Tavis and Ra. So the answer is, Hochem and Mayaskinan, there's no Tavis and Ra. So the bottom line is, the Gemara of Mitzia talks about the possibility of the Kohen grabbing a Safik Bechor and maybe getting to keep it. So, Frek Taiz Akasha, what do you mean get to keep it? What happens to Tavis and Ra? So, answer number one is, Tavis and Ra is only Lechet Chila, not the Evid. And number two, Taisa says, Hakam Iskidin, that the Tacha is no, there is no Tavis and Ra. So, I hope, but we're still back to square one. So, we're still trying to figure out what exactly is the Tokef of that power of Tavis and Ra. So, from next week, we'll continue a little bit more with that and other related
topics. So, now you can recap it first. Those two answers are Tosus, but the fact they didn't give a third answer, it sounds like you would be lined up with only one answer in the Ritva. Because the Pashup Shah answer could have been that, yeah, he gets to keep it, but he still has to give it back. The small
okay.
piece.
Okay, so you have to look really carefully at that Taisa. Taisa Bavitzia has that possibility. I'll show you in a second. Taisa has that possibility.
Correct. if it was a whole piece of that topic, you know, that's